Hey, y'all. Come on in. We're gonna get started. Let me get my screen set up. Oh, I'm about to sneeze. Ugh. I feel it coming and it's not coming. You never know, like when you're like halfway in a sneeze. That's where I feel like I am right now. It's like it wants to come and it's not coming. Ugh. All right. This is the Queen's Club call. So if you are a member of the Queen's Club, you get to raise your hand to get coaching. So if you want to do that now, that would be great. So I can see how many people want to get coached. It's probably going to be a light call today because you know this is a holiday. It's Easter here. And it is also March Madness. I would just like everybody to know that my Tennessee Vols are getting ready to play the Purdue. They're going to go live at some point while we're on this call. I've told Chris, turn that TV off. I don't want to be distracted. But it seems like nobody wants coaching today. So I have an option for all of you. If nobody wants coaching, I have a podcast that I mapped out that I wouldn't mind recording, and I could have y'all with me and you could just ask questions. Otherwise, if somebody really wants to get coached, now is the time to raise thy hand, because if you don't, then we are going to record a podcast instead of doing coaching today. Go Vols. Wouldn't it be fun for them to play Alabama? Yes, it would, Rhonda. I would give anything if it would come down to Tennessee and Alabama. Because if y'all don't know, my husband and my niece, we're all UT fans. She's graduating from the University of Tennessee this May. And then my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mother, they're all diehard Alabama fans. So it is, we're all been rooting for each other the whole time. But oh my God, it's gonna break my heart if Alabama gets in and to the Final Four and we don't. I'm just like, what? I'm like, I have been so anxious the entire March Madness. Like, y'all don't even know. Like, it's fucking pathetic. All right. So nobody wants coaching. Well, Tracy, she raised her hand. We'll start with Tracy. And then if we have time left, I've got the podcast that I can record. So I've got two, and I could even let y'all vote on which one you'd rather hear and all that kind of stuff. But let's get Tracy since she needs coaching, and then we'll go from there. All right.
All right, I
What do
wasn't
you
going to
need
do
help with?
this, but I
It's all right.
figured if no one else is, I'm going to jump in.
I know that's what these calls are for. They're for y'all to get coached, not to just listen to Kren sit and talk about the Vols, which
We're
I
in
could
hockey
do.
season up here, so it's all Stanley Cup playoff planning. So,
Yes,
but go March Madness. So,
that's right.
okay. So I have So I was looking at my life today. I have 5 months between now and some major things happening over the next 5 months. This most significant is that we're going to be moving. Like my daughter, who'll be 25 at that point, and myself will be moving. And so I kind of feel that this is a great opportunity over the next 5 months to really dig into, I'd really like to be 25 pounds down by the end of that 5 months. But I'm also looking at what is coming over that next 5 months. Like I'm traveling for work or personal reasons or both each month, so I have a lot of chaos and no set schedule. I have a lot of
What does that
work,
have to
and I
do
was
with weight
listening.
loss?
So for me, I like consistency, and I struggle when I don't have a consistent schedule. Like I know I'm going to get up at a certain time. I know I'm going to go to bed at a certain
Yeah,
time.
but
I
wouldn't
know
it be
that.
easier to keep your weight off for the rest of your life if you didn't have to have everything
So
perfectly
this is
lined up?
exactly, and I know you've talked about this before, and this is where I'm struggling, right? I want to look at the next 5 months and say, yes, it's not a set schedule, but it's also a great opportunity to try and work through my resistance around that, around
Yeah.
why can't I just lose weight regardless of what's going on in my life,
I know. Tell me
right?
all the reasons why your life has nothing to do with weight loss.
The reasons why it doesn't.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with.
Well, I know that scientifically, the only thing that, will get me to lose weight is just to eat less food, eat less calories than I burn, right? So,
Well, that's not
regardless.
actually scientifically true.
Okay.
I'm just going to
Okay.
say that's not exactly how it always works, but I will tell you the one thing I know that prevents weight loss. Thinking that a set schedule is required to lose weight.
And that's where I'm trying to get past this. I'm trying to get into the idea that no matter where I am, what I'm doing. I can make the good choices. I can get.
So why can't you make a good choice no matter where you're at? Like, what would prevent you from
Because
pausing and
I
thinking
haven't
through
in
the
the
best decision?
because I haven't in the past, and that's where I'm struggling to figure out what
Right,
was
because
preventing
every
me from
time in the
doing it.
past you
Right.
thought you needed a perfect situation, in the future we're not using that mentality. So
Right.
that, like, even your past has nothing to do with it. I mean, I
Right.
shit
So
my pants until I was like 2 or 3 years old. I broke that. Could you imagine if I spent the rest of my life thinking like, well, I don't know, the first 3 years of my life I was shitting in a diaper. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get over that habit. But
So
it's
what
the
I'm
same. Like, everybody
it's the
thinks that's
same. It's the
silly,
same.
but it's exactly the same. The difference between a 3-year-old and you is a 3-year-old doesn't make up excuses to keep shitting in their pants.
So I don't think I'm making up excuses. I think what I'm actually struggling with at the core here is that I'm trying. I don't think I think my why has shifted, and I don't think I'm using something strong enough to get me to like past those excuses, past the reasons why I don't want to. And what I don't want to do, and so I'm looking ahead. I'm looking to these 5 months, and I'm going, I don't want to do the same things I did before. What
Okay, so
do
what
I
do
need
you
to do for
have to stop?
myself?
Right, what do you have to stop doing that you've done in your past during
So I
the
need
next 5 months?
to, yeah, okay. So I need to stop thinking that if it's not perfect, it's not good enough. I need
Okay,
to
that's
stop
like a
thinking,
great one.
okay, I
Could you
need to stop.
imagine? But before you go
Yeah,
on, I
go
want you
ahead.
to think about this. What would happen at the end of 5 months if every time you were like, well, I blew it, this won't be good enough, and you were like, well, yeah, maybe I did blow this meal, but that has nothing to do with this one. What would be the difference at the end of this 5 months as it's been the last 5 months?
So I think the difference would be that at the end of my day, I wouldn't be looking back and feeling disappointed
No,
and
I want
then
you to think
trying
about the
to.
scale. Like, I want to take
Oh,
it to the
sorry, the
scale.
scale.
If
Oh,
in
okay.
5 months, instead of every time, like, let's imagine that this next 5 months, that every time you overeat, you never overate over and overeat.
Right.
If every time you messed up, you didn't say, well, this next thing I'm going to do is not good enough. At the end of 5 months, if every time you were about to do something and you're like, that's probably not good enough, and you did it anyway, what would be the difference on the scale than it is today?
So I have the data to prove that if I do that, I do lose the weight and I do get to where I want to be because I have done this
Okay.
before,
So when
right?
your brain wants to say in the past, you'll be like, oh, wait, that's not true. What's really true is all this fucking data I just collected that proves all that shit wrong.
Yes.
We could do that.
Yeah. So that would, telling myself that like it's sort of that perfect is the enemy of good, right? That I just need to pick up from where I am and keep going.
Yeah. And that's
And
never going to feel comfortable until you
no.
do it enough to where you get enough results to where it's like, oh, that's actually how it works. You have to be prepared though. Make sure you watch my last call when you get
I was on
access
the
to.
last call. Yeah.
Okay. I talked a lot about this. Like, you're really just now going into the next part. What you realize from your past is that you've never had a good counter argument for your bullshit. You've just thought it and been like, well, it's my past. Instead of like, oh, wait, my data tells me a whole different story. In my past, I thought a different way. I thought the past mattered instead of my next decision is really what matters. Because the past really has no bearing on the future until you say, I can only do this next thing because that's how I've always showed up. Instead of, I'm going to do this next thing because I want to do something different with my life. It would be like saying, like, hey, do you have a job? You said you had a job, right?
I do. I have
How
an
long have you
incredibly
had this
chaotic
job?
job, which I heard on the last call is I had a got a whole bunch of notes about that as well.
Right.
So,
How
but
long have
yes,
you
I do
had
have.
that job?
I've been working in this role since well, a year now. I've
Okay,
worked
so
the
a
company
year.
longer, but a year.
This is
Yeah.
perfect. Now, did you have a job before that?
Yes. I've been working for over 25 years.
Okay. Could
So,
you
yeah.
imagine if a year ago when this job came and you said, well, there's no way I can take this job because in the past I've worked here. I mean, I showed up every day. Like, let's say you worked there for 2 or 3 years. You're like, but for 2 or 3 years, I only worked on this job. There's no way I can take this one because my past is that I've worked here.
Right. And I did make, like, I've made significant changes in my life over the last few years. I actually switched careers completely. I switched companies. I switched roles. Like, so I have data on that too.
Yeah.
But for some reason, right now, it's like something doesn't quite click. And I'm not sure.
Like, what do
And
you mean? Like, what's not clicking?
I also, last fall, I was traveling back from a work trip, and I realized I was on the plane and, trying to plan my next sort of 7, and I realized I had 7 weeks. And so I was like, okay, I can do, what can I do in 7 weeks to be at this point on the scale? What would that look like if I did 7 weeks? And so I mapped out the idea of, hitting the four basics, right? And I mapped out, I wanted to go to the gym 3 days a week, and I wanted to, I wanted to do a couple other things. I wanted to be consistent. I wanted to have those 7 weeks matter. I wanted to end the year strong. And 2 days after I got home, I had a serious fall. And so suddenly I couldn't do almost everything that I planned to do
Except you
because I
could do the
was
four basics.
actually, I couldn't even do the four basics
How?
because I could do water, but
Yeah.
I severely bruised my ribs, so I couldn't sleep.
That's okay. Let's throw
So
that one away. I'll
yeah.
give you
Yeah,
that.
so
But I'm sure
I
you
was
slept
still.
some, otherwise you'd be dead because you actually have to sleep.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sleeping
Like,
sitting up, not recommended, not a
I
fun
know
thing at all.
I used to sleep with a baby like this for
Yes, yep.
18 months.
Yeah, mine didn't do
In
that. I
a
was fortunate
fucking
that way.
lazy. Yeah, no, my child didn't sleep. I like, this is why
Yeah.
he doesn't have siblings. He always bitches. And I'm like, is that your fault? Now I'm just saying.
Right.
But let me ask
So
you
I
this.
did,
How,
yeah.
what did your, what did bruising your ribs and having a serious fall have to do with stopping at enough?
So it wasn't the stopping at enough. Like I didn't gain, I maintained, right? But it wasn't where I wanted to be. And it
Right,
made
I
me feel like I
understand.
had a setback.
Right, but this is what I'm trying to tell you. You keep trying to blame things. You want to act like you're not making excuses. And I just want you to be like, it's okay if I'm making excuses. I need to know what excuses I'm making. Because if you keep trying to explain to me why, this is why I wasn't able to lose weight, and it's littered with you being disempowered from the four basics. I can't, there's nothing I can do to help you lose weight. Until that part ends. And this is the thing, there's nothing, all of us make excuses, but we have to get good at knowing when we're doing it. So, like saying, I had a serious accident, which means I can't do the four basics. I want you to really listen to that.
So I, yeah, I, and I'm struggling with the idea of excuses because, that's not something that was acceptable growing up. You didn't give excuses, you just solved the
So,
problem.
that's good
But
to
I'm hearing
know.
you. Yeah.
Right? That
Right.
you have a mis, like you have shame around excuses instead
Yeah.
of excuses are the window to knowing where my power is. Like when I make an excuse, because like right now, because you're so ashamed of excuses, you don't want to admit, you're like, no, I want to make sure that what I'm telling you is factual because I don't want to feel bad that I'm making an excuse. Except if the fact is, you can't have accidents. You have to have a perfect life. You can't try, like, everything has to be arranged for you to lose weight. I'm not going to be able to help you. My program is not set up for people with a
Right.
perfect life. My program is actually designed for people with imperfect lives.
Right. And a big part of the reason why your program has worked for me to date is because it's not a prescriptive food program. I have ARFID, avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. I can't be on a program that tells me I have to eat salad. It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So that's, but I feel like I stalled. And now it's like, okay, so hearing you, the next step is how do I look at my excuses? How do I see them as excuses without that shame?
Exactly. I think that, like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you get so good at being like, because this is the thing, our brain is wired to make excuses. That's its whole job. It's like, I am supposed to like keep you out of danger, and I'm supposed to make sure everything stays the same. And like, oh my God, it's so scary. You're gonna be traveling and doing all these things for the next 5 months. Let's make sure we eat. Like, we shouldn't be trying to lose weight on top of that. Like, your
That's
brain is trying to
exactly how I
help you.
feel. That's
Exactly.
exactly it. That's exactly, when I was listening to the call earlier about the job, that's exactly how I felt. And again, if I go back and look at my data, the point where I lost weight most effectively was when my job was the calmest. And I can't stay in a calm job for the rest of my life. It's just not a
And
reality.
it's like it's always easier. Like, I'm just going to tell all of you, yes, is life easier when everything works smoothly? In those moments, life's easier. But do you want an easy life forever? Or do you only want an easy life when the world works to conspire for you? Or do you want to be able to have an easy life no matter what life's throwing at you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you really believed, you know what? It does not matter that I'm traveling the next 5 months. It has nothing to do with my basics. I can still make a plan each day. That plan might change. It may have to change at lunch. That's all right. All I got to do is think through the next meal. That's what a smart person does. That's not me being inconsistent. That's actually being a very consistent planner, somebody who can pivot when things change. If you really believed, like, I bet you I could, like, if you, are you going to be flying?
Yes,
All
yes.
right. This is what I know about airports because I travel a whole lot. Like I'm fixing to travel a lot for the next 6 months. We go to Vegas about every 2 weeks on top of my business trips. So I'm always somewhere. They have these things called plastic bottles. And if you empty it before you walk into that airport, there's these things called water fountains.
Oh yes. Oh
So we
yes.
can
Water
always
holes.
drink our water. Like
Yes.
I just Like a lot of times we just get it in our head that it's so hard. It's like, I've never, like, I go to hotels. Like in this day and age, this is what's cracking me up. For all of us, it is so much easier to lose weight now than it was 15 years ago. Like when I was starting and when we traveled, there was no Uber Eats. Most hotels didn't have room service past like 9 o'clock. If you had a meeting that ran late, you just had to go hungry. Most hotels nowadays have a free fucking breakfast. They didn't necessarily have those back then. Like, I remember when I traveled, it was you ordered Domino's, you starved, or you had to go to a vending machine in a dark hallway to try to figure out some vittles.
And I have seen that in myself, because a lot of what would happen for me is I would go to a conference or go to an event, and I'd find like the two things I could eat, which were usually very sugary and carb heavy, and I'd load up on those because I'd have nothing else to eat, which was, a symptom of my childhood and how I didn't get what I wanted. So one of my travel protocols is to, focus on protein, always prioritize protein, because at least I'll feel better if I eat, the cheese as opposed to the muffin kind of thing. So, yeah.
Understand what your problem is then. It sounds like you already know that everything's going to work out. Like
Oh,
you have a
yeah.
travel protocol, you know that it's not so, like you have data that says that you can lose weight at any time. You know the four basics. Like I don't even understand. You know that like no matter where you are, hunger and enough is all you need. You're either hungry or not. You're either going to eat till enough or you're not. Like, I don't understand how the next 5 months are going to be a problem. Like, what is it? What else do you need to know?
I don't know, and I don't know if it's that I'm not putting it into action in a way that's effective, because I feel like I'm stalled. I feel like I've spun my wheels for the last few months. I've actually
Okay,
seen my
this
weight go up
last
a little
week,
bit.
how many
I'm
overeats
struggling
did you
with
have?
this.
This last
Oh,
week, how many overeats did you
like
have?
yesterday I had like two. The day before I had one. I'm
Okay, so you
supposed to be
had two
on holidays
yesterday.
these 3 days, and I'm working, so that's part of the trigger of overeats, right? Is I'm and I know it, and I'll and I. My again, disco sheets will tell you it's the whole thing about not so much treating myself as I can't stop working because I need to get this done, so I'll
Yeah.
eat the chocolate while I keep going, kind of thing.
No, whoa, whoa, whoa. So that's where we have to call out our brain. Like, if
Right.
you literally can't stop working, you shouldn't be eating chocolate. So you're just, that's an excuse. That's a lie.
Yes.
Like and I
Yes.
want you to hear this. Like that legit is your brain is absolutely wrong. It's like you can't stop working. So you know what you should do? Stop working and get chocolate.
No, not stop working it. Like keep working and eat chocolate as I'm working
Right.
because it's the
But
thing that
you're
keeps
not
me
being
sitting here.
productive. When you're eating, I want you to think about this. Who's going to get done faster? The person who is taking a keyboard warrior break to get their chocolate in their mouth while they're trying to work, or the person who just works? Which one gets done faster?
I would say the person who just works.
Yeah, that's why I want you to, like, this sounds crazy. Like, your brain is
No.
literally trying to, like, no, Corinne, it's not
Yes,
really that
yes,
way. I'm
yes.
faster when I'm eating the chocolate. And it's
No,
like,
I know, and I'm hearing you, and it's like, I don't want my brain to be like this.
no.
How
Your
do
brain is going
I?
to do that. You want your brain to say that. I want you to repeat after me. I want
Okay.
my brain to offer up those thoughts. Say that first.
I want my brain to offer up those thoughts.
So I can tell it when it's wrong.
So I can tell it when it's wrong. Okay.
That's the magic. Because all of you say this, like y'all get, but this is why I press y'all so hard. Because the more I press you, the more you won't tell me what you think is the right thing or the way it should be said. You will eventually say the shit that's absolutely underneath the surface. And it's like, but I don't want to think those thoughts. That's not what I want my brain to tell me. And I'm like, that's the problem. Because that is
So
what
it's
your brain
not
is going to tell you right now. So we
right.
can't. I can't cut out your brain. We cannot perform lobotomies for weight loss. But what I can do, this is what I can do. I can teach you to hear it loud and clear and be like, I want to tell my brain, because this is the problem. I explained it in the last call. I'm explaining it again. There's the reticular activating system. And if you keep saying, I don't want my brain to say these things, then your brain now will say them at a very low level, and it tries to make sure you're not hearing it consciously.
Okay.
So now we're just grabbing chocolate. When we tell
Right.
ourselves, I want to hear the excuses, I want to hear the justifications, I want to hear the thoughts that I have that aren't helping me with weight loss loud and clear, I want to hear my urges loud and clear. You're going to turn the volume up. You've now given your brain the command. Please say this loud and clear. Because if I'm not hearing it, I can't redirect you. If I'm not hearing it, I can't say, oh, wait, no, I really can't stop working on this. I don't even want to stop to take a break to grab the chocolate. Grabbing the chocolate is still taking a short break. My fingers must leave the keyboard to go over there.
Okay.
Like it's break. I know that sounds like so minute, but it's so important. Because what you can't do is to do what you did, which is like, no, I'm working and eating. Because that's like saying, I need you to know that's okay. I was still working. And I'm like, it's not okay for your weight loss. We want you
No,
to
and
be a
that's it.
great
It's not okay
worker.
for my weight loss. Right. And I'm so good at like prioritizing, okay, I have to get the work done, so the weight loss just has to go to the side. I have to help my family member. The weight loss needs to go to the side. I want to keep the weight loss the thing that
But
I
you
don't
have to
put to the side.
combine them that they work together. You've got them pulled apart right now.
Right.
You're like,
Right.
well, this weight loss thing takes up so much time and energy. There's no way I can work and do this at the same time. And I'm like, it's
Right.
right the opposite.
And I've
You'll
heard
be
you
a better
say,
worker if you're not taking breaks to eat chocolate.
I will, I agree. And I've heard you say weight loss doesn't take time. Like it really doesn't. And it doesn't take me a long time to make my 24-hour plan. It doesn't take me a long time to assess my 24-hour plan. What the resistance is, the excuse is, but it's that all the other things that come with that. And so
Like what? Like give me some of
because
those time-consuming things that come
well,
along.
because I've had it to the side, because I've thought that I have to spend the energy fighting with myself around it, right? And it's not even the like there's time there for like, taking actual breaks, going to the gym, meal planning, those sort of that does take time. I acknowledge that, but it would take time no matter what. It's the mental energy of consistently fighting with myself and hearing you say that moving it to a low level, I think that's what I've done. I think I've said, I cannot listen to you anymore. You have to go away. And it really hasn't,
I
but
think it's
it's
because
now
you're spending time
insidious.
fighting instead of spending time reasoning.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we fighting with ourselves? Like, fighting with yourself sounds like this.
Yeah.
You shouldn't think that. I don't want to hear that. This is bad. I can't do this because of that. Like, yeah,
Which is
that's
exactly what I
great.
think I've done.
Yeah, we just
Exactly
don't want
that.
to, I think we just want to soften your language around it. I think if you were just like simply saying, like, oh, here I am telling myself I can't stop working right now. And so, like, no, I absolutely can stop working. I do it all the time when I go grab chocolate. That's
Right.
stopping. Like, you need to like convince yourself that's actually what's happening. I'm taking time to stop working to eat chocolate. And then I come back and then I try to work inefficiently by eating chocolate while working. And then I have to set myself up to do a discovery worksheet. And that takes time. And then I have to set myself up to like wonder, am I ever going to be able to get my weight off? And blah, 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 blah. Like, I really am taking the long way around all of this. So I'm going to like
Exactly.
shortcut it and just say, like, when our work's done, if you still want some chocolate, you can have some. Have all
Okay.
at, have at it. But we don't work and eat chocolate anymore. That's going to be a habit we're going to break because we know that we want to get this done. Because if your work really, because here's the other thing. If you absolutely have to keep working, you have to quit pretending that you're not slowing yourself down by eating while you're working. Or the alternate is true. You don't have to keep working. You're telling yourself you have to keep working. You absolutely could take a real break because maybe that is what you truly need. You just feel bad or you just feel guilty or whatever other thing. We have to get to the truth of what's happening. So the truth is either you're under such a pressing deadline that you're going to lose your job if you stop working, or the truth is you constantly feel like you need to keep working when you're really not sitting there examining, is that even really true? Or do I absolutely need some breaks and I'm not giving themselves myself breaks for these reasons? And if I really looked at it, it's never going to be as bad as I'm making it out to be. So which is it for you, do you think?
I
If we
think it's the
just did this
second.
thing.
I think it's the second one, and I think there's also something there around, not good boundary setting and feeling like I do need to do it all and I don't. So,
That's
yeah.
when your brain wants to say, I need to do it all, you need to tell yourself, well, what is everything? And is that even really true? Because I'm going to tell you, every successful person will tell you, you're never going to be able to do it all,
No.
but you can get really good at doing all the best things. And sometimes we have to leave 20% aside and work on like 80% of the things, because in that 80%, that's where life changes. That's where we get raises and promotions and big projects get accomplished and stuff. And this 20% that we usually are doing, that's just fake ass shit to make ourselves feel safe or better. That's also our energy depletion stuff, keeps us stalled in the things we want in life.
Right.
So if that's the case,
Okay.
I just work on that. Like I wouldn't, like, this is the thing. You can absolutely lose 5 pounds a month with barely trying. That is not that much. That is cutting out some overeats. That is not overhauling your life. It does not require exercise. If you were telling me you needed to lose 10 pounds a month and you had a damn good reason, like it was health related or something, we might need to say, like, all right, you're probably gonna have to work out too. We're gonna have to get some kind of an edge here. You know, like when people have these, like if you're competing in a sport or something along those lines,
Right.
sometimes like we got like, yes, adding these things in might help, but I would call them short-term things. And people who are doing, like even NBA players, they will tell you they follow one training program and one eating program through a certain part of the year. And then when it's off season, they do a whole different program. There's a lot less exercise. It's not as intense. They eat a lot more. They try to gain weight. They do all these things. So the reason why I tell you this is because if you're just looking to lose 5 pounds a month,
I would just be thrilled to lose 5 pounds a
that
month
is
for the
in
next
your
5 months. Like,
emotional
seriously.
eating. That is going to be not eating chocolate while you're working. That's going to be you traveling and not making excuses to eat whatever you want because life's chaotic. That's where the 5 pounds are. That will be looking at a room service menu And not ordering a cheeseburger and fries because it's been a long travel day with a lot of meetings and you just being tired and wanting to make the easy choice. That's where the 5 pounds are going to be. But it won't be time consuming. It won't be in the gym. It won't be because, like, you got to spend lots of time planning and assessing. It's in the moment to moment little decisions. Are you willing to call yourself out? And if you don't like using it as like saying excuse, I don't mind. I love catching myself when I make excuses. I don't think they're shameful because I know the brain is designed to make excuses because it's trying to protect us. And when I catch myself, I'm always asking, what's my brain trying to protect me against? Like, what is it so worried about? Why does it feel like it needs to make this okay? But why is that? So that I can just reason with that thing and then I don't need the excuse anymore.
Right. And so what I'm hearing is that I need to, I've recognized that it's my excuses are now on that low level. I need to hear them. I need to listen for them. I need to reason with them. And I need to not be ashamed because I have them, because they're trying to tell me something.
Yeah, because I mean, this is the thing. I just want you to think about this. How useless is shame? Like, why are we having, like, I want you to think about this. Why choose to continue to be ashamed of excuses when that is naturally how your brain works? Everyone's brain. That's like saying, it would be just like saying, God, if I didn't have to breathe so much. I mean, everybody else seems to be able to like breathe half as much as me. Like, this breathing thing really gets in my way. I am so ashamed that I'm a breather. We like in our family, we just don't breathe a lot.
In our family, we don't use excuses. We make difference. There's your difference. I mean, in my family, it's not that we said you don't breathe. It's we said we don't accept excuses, right?
Yeah, well, I
And
think that's
so
actually good.
it's a
I don't
shift.
think
It's a
you should
shift.
accept, right? I think you tell yourself, like, I'm going to do like my family. I'm not going to accept excuses for myself, but it's not because excuses mean you're lazy or you're bad or whatever. Maybe your family's messaging behind excuses is that it was a flaw in your character.
That is exactly it.
And this is what I'm telling you. Don't take excuses because we know better now that it's how our brain works. It's an inefficient way our brain is trying to help us get through life. Like, it is not because Tracy is broken or Tracy is lazy or whatever. It is because Tracy's not good at hearing her excuses. And when she gets better at hearing them, then she can pivot and change because she's got a brain just like everybody else. I mean, my brain is littered with them. Littered. I was already, so I had a spray tan scheduled for this afternoon. I have a I'm all about spray tans and I haven't had one in like a month. And so I used to have a spray tan girl. She moved to Birmingham. She had a baby, moved to Birmingham. So I bought the equipment for a portable spray for one of the bartenders at our restaurant. I said, hey, before my girl leaves, I'll pay you. I'll even buy the equipment. But if you will just spray me, like at my house, so I don't have to go anywhere. Because I don't want to like, go places to do it. She's like, oh, I would love to do that. And she's like, do you care if I spray other people? And I was like, spray anybody you want as long as you spray me. And I was like, if you want to create your little side business, you go right ahead. But I get my sprays. Well, today, this morning, I didn't have time to run. I had a project to work on before I started my calls. And I'd said I was going to run today. Well, when we were between calls, I was telling Chris, I was like, I can't run today because I'm getting a spray tan. And he said, why? And I was like, well, it'll ruin the spray. I'll get sweaty and blah, 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 blah. And I sat there and I was like, oh my God, I am making the world's biggest excuse because at reality, I want to watch my basketball game and I don't want to run today. That's what's really going on. So I texted her and I said, can you come tomorrow? Because I need to run today and I have to do it this afternoon now. Do you think I want to?
No, but you will.
No. Exactly. And I'm dreading it now, and I'm coaching you. It's in my head that this is what I got to do. I'm going to be doing it during fucking the. I'm barely going to get to watch UT at all. Then I'm going to have to, when they hit halftime, I'm going in there and I'm doing my run. But it's because I've just made a decision that it's okay to dread it. It's okay to not want to. I do not have to be excited about it, but I'm just going to do it anyway. And I think that's what I want you to see. It's like, I can find excuses and not know it's a character flaw. I'm not a lazy person because my brain doesn't want to run. I'm a normal person. It wants to have fun this afternoon. It would love to just get a spray tan and watch basketball all afternoon. But if I'm going to run a 5K at the end of April, I better fucking start running.
No, I'm with you. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you. This
So
was very, very helpful.
that's all I
Yeah.
want. It's like, I just want you to just like tell yourself, start preparing the thoughts now. Never think again, or you'll think it, but this is what I want you to tell yourself. I am going to lose 5 pounds per month. And this time, I'm going to do it while I'm traveling, while work is hectic, because I am going to learn how to have a life that no longer, like, I can have the things I want because I work for them, not because everything works in my favor and I get the easy pass. Because it's very rare in life that we get an easy pass. It's nice when it happens, but it's not a plan.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Now all y'all got your hands up. Tam? Hey, what are we coaching on?
About evening eating, I guess, is the I've been
Hey, you
just
may want
second.
to take your earbuds out because it looks like you might want to use your computer. Your earbuds are making you click in and out.
Oh, okay. Can you
Now
hear me
try
now?
talking. A little bit better, yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah, I'm on my iPad. I'm a professor. I've been having a really stressful term, in part because I'm filling in for someone else's sabbatical, teaching a class with about 500 students. And
Why is that stressful? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be doing camp at 480 and I love it.
yeah, well, it's stressful because it's not necessarily my material. I'm cat herding several other profs who are also filling in the same course. I'm dealing with all the administrative and logistics stuff.
Okay.
So,
So you have some stuff on your plate.
yeah,
Okay.
and the other thing is I suffer from depression
Okay.
and so I've been cycling in and out of depression and anxiety. And if I get too tired, I get overwhelmed, I end up working really late and I just get exhausted and then I'll start tanking. I was on medical leave for depression for a bit last year, and but I feel like I'm just doing these kind of sine waves up and down, in and out of overwhelm and anxiety and depression and exhaustion. And so what I've started doing, and this has always been my hardest thing with losing weight, is starting to eat in the evening. Like, I think it's just to get a bit of relief or something like
Oh, I'm
that.
sure. That's
And
why the majority of people eat in the evenings. They're seeking relief from something.
yeah. And so, I eat less than I used to, which is good because I've been just very slowly losing weight. So, or maintain between going between maintaining and losing just a, half a pound or something, depending on how overwhelmed I am that week. But what I'm also finding is, and I'm working with a therapist, and more recently we've been talking, maybe my medication changed last year, so maybe the dose needs to change. But what I'm ha finding is, on the times when I am a little less overwhelmed, I feel like I'm going into habit eating at the same time. And it's like just before bed. And I know that I should be able to just like get up and go to bed and not walk into the kitchen to get some more water before bed and then stand at the counter and eat something. So, and so,
so
I
what
know
do you think
what
the problem is? What do you think your problem is right now? If you had to give it to me in one sentence, it would be what?
It's just that it's like I'm, it's almost too much effort to walk upstairs and go to bed. I mean, that's how I
do you
feel.
do it each day?
Yeah, but I might have, you know, some chocolate or something before I do it.
So, I just want to be really clear. It's not actually hard to go upstairs and go to bed. It's hard to not eat before you go to bed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that you're really like clear with yourself about what's
Okay.
hard,
Okay.
because
Yeah.
like, even when you say it, like, it's just hard to go upstairs and go to bed. Like, that's why I wanted to ask you, is like, well, that sounds like, if you're already doing it, it sounds like you know how to walk up your stairs.
Yeah,
Like,
I do. Yeah.
hard would be like, I just bought twin beds from IKEA and I need to put them together.
Yeah.
That would be hard. So, all right. So we have that. At least we're really clear that for you, I just want you to tell yourself, it's actually easy to walk up the stairs and go to bed. The
Okay.
hard part is not eating before I go.
Yeah.
So that we're really clear on what's actually hard. All right. So why is it hard to not eat chocolate before you go upstairs? Like, what's going to happen? Let's say tonight we're not going to do that.
Okay.
And I want you to take me through what would actually happen. Like, okay, right before I go to bed, I'd be doing this, and then I would have to walk upstairs. And here's the hard, let me tell you what the hard part is, Corinne, because I'm not going to be eating.
Okay. I don't know. Well, let me think about this for a moment. I think part of it is perhaps there's, I don't even have a big routine before going to bed. I think it's just, I walk into the kitchen and I just, I maybe I'm not, maybe I don't feel like I'm quite like relaxed enough to go to bed, or like I
Don't
said, part of it.
This is what I don't want you doing. I think you're trying to guess why you're eating.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not my question.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So, well, and that's okay, because a lot of our brain, your brain's probably just racing. And so let me say it again, and because I want you to really tell me this. Imagine tonight,
yeah,
you're not going to eat.
Okay.
So whatever you normally do you watch TV before you go upstairs?
I actually sit on my iPad with my cats and do a coloring app. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. So you color. All right. And so you're coloring and it's like, oh, it's time to go to bed. Like, you start getting tired probably.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's time to go to bed. And you want to go to the kitchen to eat some chocolate or to eat whatever.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that. Tonight, we're actually just going to be like, you know what? We're not doing that. Tonight is the night where you just go to bed. We're going to practice going to bed.
Okay.
What would be like between the moment you turn off the iPad or whatever you do,
yeah,
you walk upstairs instead of going to the kitchen? What's the hard part for you? Like, what is it that when you think about it, well, this is the hard part?
Hard part's probably not walking into the kitchen in some ways, because I literally, you know, the room I'm in, I kind of can turn one way, it's upstairs, and the other way, it's the kitchen.
And so why would it be so hard to turn like left versus right?
I think it's because I normally go into the kitchen to fill up my water out of the, you know, the purified water jug, right?
Okay. So you're
which
in
is,
there.
yeah.
Okay. So here's one intervention point that we can put in to make
Okay,
things
yeah.
easier. And I'm going to keep snaking this through for you. Is
Okay.
could you, when you get home, fill up a water jug, like buy another one that's just like the one you have, or
yeah,
a separate one, or do whatever, put water upstairs when you first get home so that you don't have to go to the kitchen to go to bed? Could you do that?
Yes, I could. And it's one of those I've thought about doing that, but just haven't done it.
Why don't we try? Like, this is what I always say to people. It's like when I keep asking you what's hard, not one time did you tell me, oh my God, extreme deprivation. I'm gonna like really argue with myself and blah, 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 blah. Like, you weren't telling me anything was difficult. You were just basically like, well, it's a left or right turn. And when I make a right turn, I go into habit mode. So if that's the case for all of you, sometimes what we do is we solve some of these things by just changing the pattern. And sometimes that is enough to break through a habit. So I am always a fan of try to break the pattern if you can first. And then that one, because if you do that, like I would just say, like, maybe I fill it up first thing in the morning and take it upstairs. Like, I do it when I'm like got the most functioning part of my brain online. Because
Okay,
at the
morning
end
is
of the
it? Yeah.
day, you've been resting, playing with your cats, coloring and stuff. Your reasoning brain has shut down. And it's also good that your reasoning brain is shut down. You're trying to relax and get ready for bed. The last thing you want is a very alert, like, it's time to make big decisions. Like, you've done that part for the day. So our reasoning brain is supposed to be pretty offline. So if our reasoning brain's going to be offline at night, then one thing we can do is set us up to not just keep following through on habit patterns. So let's try that first and see what happens. See if that breaks it. Now, I'm just going to warn you. You're still going to want to go to the kitchen, even though you have water upstairs. Now your brain is going to be like, oh, wait. I know we have water upstairs, but we always like cruise through the kitchen. Like, I think the only way to go up the stairs is to take a U-ey here and then go this way. Okay. The GPS right now knows one way to go upstairs, straight through chocolate. That's the path. So we have to reprogram the GPS. The GPS needs more ways to get upstairs. So I just want you to be on the alert for it. So when your brain is like, but I want something to eat, you're going to say, like, can we just try for tonight going to bed, even if we think it's going to be hard, even if I think I won't be able to sleep, even if I lay up there and all I'm thinking about is the chocolate, because the only reason why you'll obsess over it is because the brain's like, we took a wrong turn. We took a wrong turn. I think we went the wrong way. We were supposed to go right. You went left tonight. Okay. And then I just want you telling your brain, we're on track. We're doing okay. Tonight's plan was to come upstairs and just see what it's like. And especially because you have anxiety and depression, this is very important for you to talk nicely to yourself and to breathe through it, to not command yourself, to not yell at yourself, to not like sit there and think like, oh my God, I'm the only person that does this. And rah, rah, rah. Like, we don't want to like, you like, there's two conversations that can have when your brain starts up with like, I think we should eat. We did not close the loop. Every night we eat, there is a problem here. You're never going to be able to sleep if you don't eat. You're low. Like, it's going to say all of its excuses and things only because, not because you need to eat, not because you will starve, not because you're broken, not for any reason other than A, I have a incomplete loop and I need to close it. And you're not closing it. So you've got to close the loop for it without eating, which says, we're trying something new. We're already in bed. It's okay. Nothing's going wrong. We're just going to lay here for a while. We're going to try this on and see what happens. Maybe we'll fall asleep. I don't know what's going to happen. And then just keep calm and see what happens. And let's just see if that right now can help break some of this. Because I think that you're working on medication. You're working with a therapist. I think you're doing the work that where you might be stressed out and that kind of stuff. You do want to continue all of that. But I'm not 100% sold that you're eating at night because of all of that. Sometimes it may have started that way, but sometimes it continues because it's literally just the way we've been doing it.
That's what I think. I really have. I think I'm going. It is starting because of the depression and stuff, but then it moves into the anxiety, not the anxiety, into the habit. So that's what I've been, thinking. Okay.
Well, and then I
Well.
just want to tell you the same thing happens to me, Tam. Like, I will stop eating at night for months, like forever, it feels like at times. And then there'll just be a random day where, like, I'll actually be hungry. Like, I will be in bed. And this happened a few weeks ago. I was in bed. I was like legit hungry and I knew I was hungry. But I also knew, like, oh, if I eat right now, I know my brain. It goes back to that old pattern. It's like, oh, we ate at night and we ate at night for years and years and years and years. And then when I bring that pattern back up to the forefront, my habit brain's not smart enough to know that I'm only using this for hunger. It just
Okay.
thinks like, oh, we eat at night again. Like
Okay.
it's literally just like, oh, we must be back to this. And so the next night it's like, I think a yogurt snack's going to be great tonight. How about a protein bar? I saw Logan brought in cookies. Maybe you could just have a cookie. Like it opens it that channel back up. So whenever I eat at night, I always have to remind myself, you're probably for the next couple of days going to have urges and want to eat. You're going to need to work through those because that old pattern's going to come back up and that's
Okay.
okay. Because
Okay.
sometimes like we do want to eat at night. Like if I'm really hungry, I know me. I won't be able to sleep well. Like, I did this a few months ago. I was just like, no, I do not want to deal with nighttime urges. I'd rather go to bed hungry. Finally fell asleep. Swear to God, I woke up at 1 o'clock. I woke up at 3 o'clock. And each time my stomach was growling. And that next day, that is when I was like, okay, you need to get better at when your old patterns come up. At just extinguishing them because spending an entire night trying not to have to open that up was fucking miserable. And we're not doing that again either. It was like, I'd rather eat and get a good night's sleep because I was legit, truly, physically hungry than to sit there and be afraid that I was going to open up a habit pattern and be like, and I don't want to do that. And it's like, now I know better. I'd rather open the loop and spend a couple of days closing it again than to spend a night like really hungry and miserable.
Right.
So this is just where we start getting into the, it's the gray areas. It's the like figuring out your reasons and really understanding things. But all of it takes trial and error and doing things and seeing what happens. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Keep
And
working with your therapist. You deserve to feel better. All of us who have depression do.
I just want to say that the four ends are amazing. They have really, really helped me. Help try to reformulate some of my ruminations at times.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you. That has been so valuable to me. So thank you very
You
much.
are so welcome. Like those four ends and stuff are written for people exactly like you and me. Like we just deserve to feel better than how our brain is naturally wired to kind of make us feel. Like I know I'll have depression the rest of my life and I've made peace with that. Like I don't feel like a broken, there's too many of us that have it. There's for sure we're not broken humans. There's a lot of us out there now. I think there's a lot of walking wounded who are undiagnosed. And I feel more sorry for them because they're not getting the help that they deserve to work through it. But we just deserve to feel better. And it's like we want to feel better as much as we can. And sometimes that's with medication, sometimes that's with therapy, sometimes it's a combination of all of it. And I just truly believe that this is something I can live with and handle. And I'm going to have ups and downs, but every human will. So this is just my flavor of it.
All right,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, B, I'm going to tell you right now, I think there are more people that have depression than we even know. And I would venture to say inside of No BS, there's just a lot of people who were raised where it wasn't okay. I do remember, I love my grandmother to death. Like my granny, she was still is like my person. But I remember when I attempted suicide and we were sitting in the hospital and we had to have a family, like family conference. My mom was there, my dad was there, my grandparents, we were all there. And I remember her asking my psychiatrist, what kind of, like when she comes home, what kind of punishment should we give her for doing this? And she was asking in the most, like literally the kind way, but in her mind, like I was being naughty instead of needing help. And I still remember that to this day. And I just think like so many of us grew up like that. And it just takes reteaching people, especially ourselves, that we're not being bad or we're not flawed, we're not broken, we're not being naughty or whatever it is. And then my grandmother finally really understood what was going on for me, and she changed her mindset around that. But just none of you should feel bad if you deal with depression. It's not, don't use it as a weapon to beat yourself up, because it's really easy to do that. It really is. But I just believe that shame, there's no way any of us will escape depression if we even just have shame about it. Same thing with binge eating. It's very hard to get out of binge eating when you carry the shame around binge eating. All right. Let me see. We did not. We don't have a question. Let me, Lenora, I'm going to call on you and we're going to try to get done. It's like 1:30. So we're going to try to get done as fast as we can. I always say that. What the heck? Who am I even fucking kidding? I'm always like, I tell Chris, don't worry. This call, I'm only going to do an hour, you know, because he's waiting on me to watch. He won't watch the game without me. And then, like, here I am, like, one more. We have, 4 minutes.
All right, well, I will make it quick.
I don't say that to guilt you into going fast. It's just, I'm sure Chris is up there laughing at me right now. He's like, bitch, taking another call. What do you need help
Well,
with?
thank him for me for allowing you to do this. So
Oh, I
I'll make
will,
it
because if
quick
we're getting our
because
ass beat, I might as well be here. Otherwise, I'll be crying.
right. And I gotta go watch some tennis, which is part of what I want to talk about. So I've been with No BS since 2018. Love
Yeah,
the
we coached
program.
before a few times, right?
Yeah, on many different things, and everything just seems to come back to tennis with me, right? So I've been working really hard. I set a goal this year to try to get to the next level, right? And
Okay.
also set some goals related to weight loss, right? And that's going really, really well.
Good.
But yesterday, and I've put resources into like getting coaching, and I'm on the court like 4 or 5 days a week now.
Oh, wow.
And but I've been losing. I've just been like losing. I'm captaining teams, and I'm like, these women may not want to play for me anymore if they see how much I'm losing, right? So last night I lost a match, and I got home, and the first thing I did was I wanted to eat. I wasn't hungry because as a team we had gone out to eat afterwards. And I ate off and on until about 2 a.m.
Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich sounds really good. Maybe a ham, and just crazy eating, right? And then the first thing I wanted to do this morning is get up and like reach out to my team members and apologize for losing. And I'm just trying to figure out like what thoughts are driving that, like I want to publicly apologize or
But what do you
blame
think that makes you
myself.
do?
I don't know. I think it's because I've been trying to get to this level for so long, and I think I've been initially I wasn't very public about it, but then I was like, well, maybe I should just put it out there so that it holds me accountable. But it's not happening, and I'm almost apologizing to the like my tennis community for not making it to that level. And it's again, just presenting itself in
Well, how do you feel right before, like, have you apologized, or are you just wanting to apologize?
well, I do it in a little like a sly way. Like I put a group me out on the team link this morning, and I was like, yeah, we had a challenging season and I didn't help with my play, right? So that was a way of me kind of taking responsibility for it.
Okay, but like, all right, but let me ask you this. What is the problem with you taking responsibility for your part? I mean, if it matters that much to you, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, is it a problem? Like in this case, like you put, like you say, well, I did it in a sly way.
It feels like a problem because obviously I'm playing doubles and I didn't lose the match for us, right? I mean, there were shots that I made that weren't great or whatever, but and my partner made some errors or whatever, but I feel like I'm taking on the responsibility of the loss. And for that, I wanted to publicly like apologize.
But I'm just trying to figure out if that's a problem or not. Like if like in my business, when things don't work, because I have to make a lot of decisions. Like we have to try a lot of things to make this a functional business. I have to like I mean, we try an unprecedented amount of things all the time, and 60% of them never work, but we try. And often I do apologize. Like if we miss our goals or whatever, I apologize to the team. Like, I'm sorry, this was on me. I wanted to test this or whatever. I'm glad we tested it. I'm glad we tried things, but didn't work out. But it, like for me, it comes back to because I am the leader and you're the captain. For me, it comes from the mindset of like, I want them to know that I am watching this and that I am very aware of this and I'm willing to keep going with them and stuff. It doesn't sound like that's the energy that's coming for you. So if it's not coming from that energy, what do you think it's coming from? I mean, do you just feel bad that y'all are losing?
Well, yeah, I feel bad that we're losing only because we did so well last season.
Okay.
And again, that's just a team that I captain, but I'm on many other teams where I'm not the captain and just a player. And if we lose our court, I just feel really bad and I just feel like it's my fault, like I'm not holding up my end.
Well, that's
So,
better
and it's
than
like,
that, because I think that's where it's coming from. Is that what you just said right there? Because there's nothing wrong with feeling bad about losing. I do not like losing. And I'm going to tell you right now. Like I have certain goals in my life, and I have been resetting the same goals now for 3 years, and I have lost each year. And I do not end the year like, oh, this is great. I'm learning so much. I end the year with this sucks. Winning's way more fun. I like it when everything's working. And I want to feel bad in those moments. But I think where it's going different is you're saying, and it's my fault. Instead of, because what I usually tell myself is like, this is not like we don't need to place blame. We just want to get better and we want to figure this out. And if there are pieces I want to own, like there's certain pieces that you want to own and say, like, I need to work on this part of my game. And next year, for all of us to improve, why don't we all think about one thing in our game that we can all improve? That's very different than just like, it's my fault. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, how can you strike the balance of being a leader without saying things like, it's my fault?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking like, why would they want to, if I should be the best person on the team as the captain. I know that's not true, but I feel that.
Tell me why that's not true, though, because that's really important for you to understand logically, because emotionally it won't feel that way. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a leader, I know that tennis and running businesses are different things, but they're also exactly the same. One of the hardest things I've had to learn is that I can't be the best player on the team anymore. That's not my job. The leader is not supposed to be the best one on the team. The leader's job is to get the best out of everyone, including themselves. That doesn't mean you're the best player. It means you know how to get the best out of everyone. You know how to rally them. You know how to keep make it fun. You know how to look at things. You know how your job is to organize and see the things that people who are just playing, like they're not looking at.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I do a really good job of that, like, putting partnerships together. I try to be, inspirational in like my communications, but then there's just this little thing in the back of my head that's like, but you should really be better than you are, right?
Okay, that's okay though. I want you to think about this. That little voice is okay, unless it's backed up with some shit. I tell myself all the time, there's, well, let me put a twist on it and see if this thought feels any better. Rather than you should be better than you are, what if you were to say, I just want to be better than I am right now. I just want to be a better tennis player. Rather than I should be better. Because the way you're saying it's almost demeaning. Instead of maybe this is desire in you to go to the next level in tennis, but it's coming out as shame. Like maybe you're used to shaming your way into things. Sometimes we're used to commanding or talking harshly. It's the only way we can get anything out of ourselves. Like, what if you were just like, I just want to be better? This is not a should or shouldn't. And I want to be better for these reasons, but make sure you like the reasons.
I really do think that a lot of it is because I've placed this deadline on being a better player. The new ratings come out in on November 1st, and I'm here at the end of March, just like I'm never gonna make it. And there's a lot of tennis to be played between now and then, where I could get, have more wins. But I'm thinking, oh, I've already lost. It's never gonna happen, right?
This is all right. So I'm going to tell you right now, you could take your fucking tennis and plug it into my head on my walk every single day about how I feel about my businesses. We're already behind for the year. There's no way we're going to catch up. This isn't working like I thought. I should be better than this. I should be a better marketer by now. Like, literally, I like. Do it up just like you do. That's when I keep talking about not doubting myself after 50. That's because after I got to listening to myself and my silent walks, I was like, oh my God, no wonder I feel so much pressure. I'm talking to myself like a complete jerk. Like, that's where all this pressure is coming from. So here's some of the thoughts I'm working on. Maybe you try this on and see what it says. I never know when the moment's going to happen that all of my hard work starts clicking and paying off. I thought it was supposed to happen soon. It might happen in July. It might happen next week. I don't know. So if I don't know when that moment, when all my hard work pays off, and I don't know when that moment, when I suddenly get better at something is going to happen, I might as well believe in myself until that moment. And I keep repeating that. And I will tell you, every time I start getting tense and pressure feeling and anxious, I remind myself of like, girl, you don't know when your moment's coming. Don't sit here and talk to yourself like this and change an outcome that might be coming. Because when I have all that pressure and stuff, I start letting my foot off the gas. I start lowering my goals and expectations. And when my goals and expectations are lowered, then my actions to get there get lowered also. So I don't want, I've told myself 1,000 times, I want to try so hard up until the moment I either win or lose. I do not want to lose at the end of the year knowing I gave up in little ways all year long. It's like the same thing with body image camp. I'm so excited about body image camp, all kinds of things. And the one thing I'm not excited about is I have stood on that stage every single time and told myself that before camps that I was going to lift weights and like get in good shape. Not like just so that like it really has nothing to do with y'all. But I know how I like how my arms look at a certain way and stuff. And every camp, I have not worked hard enough. I've given up. I've like said, well, I look good enough. It'll be all right. I just want to enjoy my life. I just want to like you just name it. I can come up with an excuse, thousands of them. And then I'm standing behind the curtain on day one of camp. And every single time I am crushed with disappointment. I know I'm fixing to go out there and spend 3 days wishing I would have given myself the gift of knowing I did everything I could. Not giving myself the gift of a perfect body or anything, but giving myself the gift of stepping on the stage without having to sit and think I could have worked harder. I could have showed up on that day I didn't want to. I could have done those things. That's what I want to avoid. I don't want to give future self Corinne a hard day. I want her to walk out there and say, like, this is what we got. We worked hard. Whether, like, and if all I had to do was stand on stage and think, like, girl, you got crepey skin. You're turning 50. That's just part of it. But you work so hard. I invite that conversation every day, twice on Sunday. The conversation I don't invite is you don't know what you could look like because you gave up, because you quit, because you didn't work that hard, because you talked yourself out of it. So for you, I want you to be thinking about like November 1st is coming, rankings are coming. You will get your rank and either say it was so much better than I thought and you got what you wanted, or you'll look at it, it won't be what you wanted, but you will have no regrets because you gave it your all and you never gave up on yourself. You cheerleaded yourself all the way there as much as you possibly could, even when your brain was trying not to, or you'll get that rank and you'll feel bad and you'll know you gave up. And that's the three versions of Lenore we're going to have on November 1st. I just want you to decide which, like, you might not be able to get the rank you want, but you definitely can do all you can to control the outcome as much as you can.
No, that's good. Wow. I never thought about it that way. Because I'm just thinking if it doesn't happen, then that just meant that I didn't work hard enough. And another version of the story could be true, which is I don't get it, but I've done everything within my power to prepare myself for that day. And I know it'll happen. Eventually, it may not happen in 2025 or 2024. Maybe it'll happen in 2025, but I'm still committed. But I don't
Like I
want to, as you used to say, throat punch myself every time I have a loss, you know?
exactly. Well, and I think this is the thing. You have to decide for you, what is the difference between throat punching myself and just being disappointed because I didn't get what I wanted? Because I think it's like it's normal. If you don't win and you really want to win, it's so normal to just like have that moment of just disappointment and, you know, maybe second guessing and stuff. I want the moment that I lose, that when I'm disappointed, that I'm also comforted that I did my best. I want that moment when I'm second guessing, like, should I have done this? Should I have done this? To where I can rewind the tape in my mind and be like, I don't know. It feels like I gave it my all. I want to be able to do that. If my second guessing is, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think you worked hard enough. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. I remember that whole week I blew off my workouts. I want to have like the evidence for my brain for the moment that it's bitching and moaning and sad and upset and stuff to be like, I think I actually tried really hard and I think I actually followed through. And so that's the skills I need. If I'm ever going to get there, I'm proving to myself I have the skills of doing the things. It's just, this was not the year. Or I'm surprised. Oh my God, this was the year. Who knew? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm doing the work because my coach, I mean, he just sent me a text because I told him that after last night's loss, I'm going to go take the ball machine out to the courts. And he's like, but I thought you were taking a week off. He's like, he's been like telling me take a week off from tennis because you're burning out, right? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, maybe I need to just, you know, step back for a minute for perspective. And then just miss it more. Like maybe take 2 weeks off and miss it more, you know?
Or take a week off and do your thought work around tennis. So that you're working your mental game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you're doing too much of the physical game.
Yeah.
Like I take a week off from lifting weights about every, probably like 8 to 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I won't lift that week. And it's literally to give my muscles like time to like repair my joints, a break, that kind of thing. Like there is just something in it. Your coach is probably right. There is something in athletics called periodization where you have to have times where you're training really high, but you also have to have low training periods too. It's just good for your sport. It's good for your muscles. It's good for everything. Runners do it too. Like you have a coach. Listen to your coach.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good All stuff. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let me grab, if Corinne still doesn't like her body, what hope is there for the rest of us? I'm going to teach you all the hope when you come to body image camp, because it's not that I don't like my body. One thing that I think a lot of people are misunderstand is, first of all, I'm going to be teaching this at camp, but there is your self-esteem and then there's your body esteem. Your self-esteem is about who you are and your worth. Your self-esteem is about your worth, the person you are and stuff. Your body esteem is just the collection of thoughts you have around your body. But most of us conflate the two. I'm overweight, therefore I'm lazy. I'm overweight, therefore I'm unlovable. And so we combine body esteem and stuff. I have separated that. I have what's called body dissatisfaction. I'm going to show y'all, there's a spectrum for how we think about our bodies. It's very normal to have body dissatisfaction. We are pre-wired to find problems in our body. We're not supposed to be completely happy with it at all times. And that is where there's a lot of like the toxic positivity movements and stuff go wrong. Like, you know, you should just unconditionally love your body. It's like, bitch, I can't even unconditionally love my child. Like my kid pisses me off when they don't load the dishwasher right or get the grades or whatever. I want you to think about this. When we're told we should unconditionally love our body, it's like, here's what I know about my body. I will be dissatisfied with it at times, just like I am with anything in life. And that's okay. I don't want to think something's wrong with me because I do that. But what I do want to understand is, when am I conflating my body esteem with my self-esteem? I want to understand when I am overly hard on my body, when I'm not seeing any good in it, where I'm trying to control it so much that I am not learning how to treat it well. Like, we want to separate all of that stuff out, because I am really good at that stuff. But I will tell you, I still have to do the same work around like my loose skin, my crepey stuff. You know, everything's changing on my body. Everything. And a lot of you are like, you know, in the 60s and 70s, like, you know, wait until you have this crepey skin and stuff. It's like, yeah, what I don't want to do is, it's such a problem now. If I know that's only going to be getting worse, what I don't want to do is not work on that now. Not the crepey skin, my thoughts about it, what it means about me as a woman, as a person, my value. Because all of us are going to get older. And then unless we can change some of those narratives, it just gets worse. So that's it. This game must not be going well. My mother just texted me and said, I need a nerve pill. Her team's already in the Final Four. Alabama fucking got in. I'm like, oh God. So I'm going to go watch. I'm probably going to be sweating. I will do my run today. Y'all, please pray for the Vols. Even if you're not a Volunteer fan, at least pray for Corinne's happiness. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.